Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yeah, The Big Tech Show is here to go through all of the huge stories that have happened in the news. And it's an Apple-free zone, though, so we don't go through any Apple news. Because we did that in the Mac Show at 4 o'clock, and that was a good show. It was fun. It was loads of fun. You should come along. Joining me, a great bunch of people to take us through the whole storyline and arc of what's gone on with that. Starting us off in the studio, Muller.
Oh, sorry. You don't need to come. Yeah, hello.
Sorry, mate. I didn't mean to interrupt your sleep there.
Yeah, yeah. You normally interview the proper guests first before you come to me.
Well, now you're on three. You say you're on top.
Oh, am I? Oh, right. I'm on top.
Yeah, you're on top. So
yeah. So I'm just digesting my curry, and I've got one glass of Blackbush, which I'll just drink that one.
You know you won't.
I'm being a good boy.
You won't.
Just looking for a cool thing, actually. I've lost it.
Next to him, Jeffrey is going to be dialing in a moment, but he'll be here a little bit later on. But we've got Alistair. How you doing, mate? Alistair Dabbs from The Register.
That's all right. Hello.
What's been happening, mate?
Well, I've spent the day in London. I was enjoying very much. We had a couple of snowflakes as well. It's very good.
Excellent. I mean, you're not talking about weak pill people there, are you? You mean actual snowflakes?
Well, I did see some people in check shirts.
If that's right. Okay.
But no. So, yeah, London's absolutely fine. So I'm still, you know, the old days when you had the audio equipment and it'd go crackly and weird, you just switch the cable. I never really thought it would be the same with USB. When you're plugging in the audio equipment with USB, that you just swap out one cable and it's absolutely fine.
Oh, right, okay.
That's what I've just learned this evening.
So you still got interference and crackling?
Another one for the bin.
So you got interference and crackling on a USB cable?
It wasn't crackling. It was just I plugged all the audio equipment in and it didn't work. But all the lights came on, which was obviously misleading.
Yeah.
One of the little...
Sorry, it's not a very interesting anecdote, but that's why I was...
No, it's interesting in terms of, like, I didn't know that USBs would do that. But go on, Molly, you were saying?
I've had problems with them, and it's one of the cables breaks inside, if you've been bending them.
Yeah,
they do that, cables, don't they?
Yeah, so you shouldn't bend them.
What's the point of having a bendy cable if you don't bend it?
Well, don't bend it at 90 degrees then.
Here's a super bendy cable. Please avoid bending at all costs.
I've got some that have got armour on them, so you can bend them, but they don't bend.
Basingstoke has had 6 inches. I'm taking that snow batwinch and...
well, that's only that much, isn't it?
Father-in-law is okay for M&S ready meals until Tuesday. Blimey. And last but by no means least, of course, Dr. William Green.
Oh, goody. I like to be a doctor.
Doctor, you should be getting an honorary doctorate, mate. You should be like Northampton University should issue with an honorary doctorate, or
yeah, I think so, something like that.
I should have one as well.
There was a guy I met who used to listen to British Mag, who reckoned he was a professor, and in Malta, in Ironbridge. And somebody said, well, he might not be a professor because anybody who can profess to something can class themselves as a professor, which I suppose is...
is that right? Is that right? I suppose you can call yourself what you like, but...
He's frozen.
I think he's frozen as well. Greeny? It's the connection that's frozen, not Greeny.
Change
your USB cable. Well, that's exactly it.
I think he needs to put 10 pence in the internet meter.
No, he's frozen again.
Am I?
Oh, for Christ's sake, Grinny, we've only got two guests. And Muller. Stop your porn.
That's not my fault, is it?
Stop your porn downloading, for God's sake.
I'll turn off the video, shall I?
I'll do that, yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah, he's still there. Dr. William Green. Yep. So anyone can be a professor, can they?
Well, apparently so. According to this guy, he said anybody can be...
No, he's gone.
And, as long as you sort of professor somebody.
Right.
Well, it did sound a bit like bollocks to me as well at the time, but anyway, I sort of went with it. And,
Deep Pan says you could be a doctor of wrist chronology.
Well, can I?
Well, you've got enough watches.
None of them work.
Leftover.
Well, I've sort of given most of them away.
Oh, surprise.
Is your lad still using his?
Well, it stopped. It stopped while we were in France, but it did run for maybe up to 2 weeks. So.
Still right twice a day.
It's now right twice a day, yeah, that's it. So, it was a good-looking watch, mate. I quite liked it.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. That was the problem. But it's all right. It's not the end of the world.
What do you want from a thing?
Exactly. You know, I'm being picky, expecting it to work. Come on, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
The week in tech, then. Who's got the first story? Who wants to dive in and go, I'm having this because the rest of you can sod off?
Well, this isn't exactly the latest story in the world, but I was trying to get more information on this.
I can almost guarantee it's more recent than the one that Muller will have. And even more recent than the one that Greeny will have.
Yeah, it was a story that appeared on the BBC website like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
As you can see, it says Girl Scouts from the USA are being offered badges in cybersecurity.
Okay.
And I just loved that. Instead of, you know, the usual stuff, selling cookies, making lemonade, as they do in the Girl Scouts in the States, they would get a cybersecurity badge. Now, because I can't get any more information about it other than the fact that everyone has said, hey, the BBC have said this, no one knows if it's actually true.
Well, you would have hoped the BBC would do a bit of due diligence on it. But it's a difference from Bob a Job Week, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a video report, but I don't normally watch the video reports because they don't say very much. But so they've got some visuals, and you can see, well, you're just showing it now, you can see they actually have an idea for a badge. Doesn't mean that is the badge.
No, it doesn't look, because that says STEM, so that's the science, technology, etc.
It must be part of the same thing. But I wonder what they have to do, Girl Guides, you know.
They have to hack someone, I suppose.
Well, I don't know. It's just since most online porn at some point does feature someone dressed up as a Girl Guide, it must be quite strange.
No, they have to go around and fix an old lady's router.
That's a euphemism, yeah?
No, that's fix their internet service, their cable service, their router, their device.
That's just a really long euphemism.
Okay, sorry.
Has anyone heard anything of this, or I just wondered?
Well, Muller's posted a link.
Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to read it at the moment. But
well, I mean, there's not much to read. There's no information because I think someone's just made it up. But
no,
I mean,
isn't.
Were any of you in the Scouts? I mean, you don't look like you were, but
I was.
Just asking.
40 years ago.
Really? You got your truancy badge, yeah?
No, I was in the Boys Brigade as well.
Boys Brigade.
Yeah. You have to be a Methodist for that.
No, you don't.
Well, you did then.
I went to a Methodist school. I've never heard of it.
Boys Brigade. Well, they were big round here. You have like a... they look like sailors' hats, or they did when I was a kid. I mean, I suppose they've all modernised it now. You don't have hats or something.
I've seen that on the internet as well.
But that story does go into a bit more. So it does exist. The badges are designed to allow girls to design robots, racer cars, try the hand at engineering, partake in Maker Revolution.
You see, all this is, I think this is happening anyway, and it's a good idea, and they're doing it in guides everywhere. It was just the idea of a cybersecurity badge. I wonder what they would have to do.
It is designed to cultivate more cyber-aware citizens, as well as inspire an early interest for girls in cybersecurity careers. That's the purpose of the badge. There we go.
Yeah, so I can totally get the cyber privacy awareness.
What's the
the cybersecurity badge? I mean, what do they have to do? Hack into someone.
That's right.
Well, no, quite the opposite. Defend someone who's trying to hack into something.
Yeah, good. Well, what do they have to do? Mind you, they're quite young, aren't they? This
It's like, is it like Harry Potter, Mastery of the Dark Arts? One sits on one keyboard on one side of the table, one sits on the other and writes a bit of code, and someone has to write the counter code.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out, I mean, if you've been in the Scouts, there are certain things you have to do in order to get the badge. It's all quite regimented. I can't quite work out what it is they have to do. It sounds more like a bit of a PR stunt.
Is there a bit of a, so there's, traditionally, those girls have been not well. Maybe if you go back to a point, you'd say the girls were excluded from the STEM stuff, particularly computing. The guys always just hogged the computers, and the girls were left out, and that kind of stuff. Is that still the case, or is STEM actually now becoming a lot more female oriented? And there's increase in numbers or not? I mean, that would be the interesting one to see whether there's an upturn.
I mean, even the boys' brigade, they've got different badges now. They don't do this simple stuff that we used to have. Can't remember now, but there was a thing on TV. I mean, they're literally making Lego robots, you know, with that Lego Technics and things like that. They've just come, you know, that no longer do you have to make a fire or go and visit a granny or something, get a badge. Now, there's loads of different things. And it's just moved with the times. Just found another website I was trying to read.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I see an awful lot of press releases about these kind of great initiatives, but they're all about, you know, oh, yes, we're going to turn our kids into, you know, high-level programmers, you know, and basically get a certificate for learning how to switch on an iPad. And it's not the same thing. Or you take a GCSE or an A-level in IT, and it's not in IT, it's on how to launch Microsoft Office. It's not the same thing at all.
You're saying that quite facetiously, but you're probably not a million miles away from the truth there. My son has attended school, and I want them to do, I've wanted him to do some kind of programming course, even if it's just basic awareness of, you know, ones and zeros and or gates and things like that. And his IT program has been to learn how to do an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, we see my son wanted to do, you know, he wanted to do an ITA level, and for whatever reasons of scheduling, they wouldn't let him do it. And everyone else told me, well, don't worry, you won't learn any IT anyway. Nothing that he wouldn't learn at home. It's not, you know, there's no programming. It's just running application software, which is what the rest of the world has to do every day anyway.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I've been, you know, we're all here of a certain age, but I had computing classes at school, and we learned BASIC.
I learned that. Also in A-level electronics, I learned Boolean algebra, which is, you know, yet again, AND, NAND, NOR gates. And then we just buy them from, there's an electronics warehouse in Birmingham city centre that's still there, actually. And we go there, buy the chips, and then we wire them up on a breadboard.
Yeah.
And make things like traffic lights.
Oh, right, that's good.
See, yeah. I wouldn't mind if they didn't teach him a language. I just mind that they didn't teach him the principle of programming, that idea of structures of making things happen in binary at a basic level. Like, I could live with it if that's all it was. Greeny, where did you learn to code and do stuff?
Myself, purely sort of via YouTube and Lynda and that sort of stuff. I'm terrible at it, but I sort of persevered. And if you look at it, like things like Go, Java, JavaScript, Python, they're all very, very similar, really. Yeah. And if you get to know one, the same as any language, whether it's sort of coding or whether it's Italian and Spanish and Latin, and there's such an enormous amount of crossover between the lot that it's quite easy to learn different languages if your mind is able to go in that direction. My mind was never particularly able to go in that direction, but I just sort of tried hard, and I got there in the end. But I'm still pretty rubbish. When I'm talking to customers about jobs and stuff like that, and they say, are you a coder? My sort of response to that is, I'm not really a coder, but I know enough about coding to tell when if a coder has done something particularly inelegant, that I can sort of help them out. And quite often with coders, you tend to find them less compatible with C-level and sort of the higher level chaps, you know, sort of the senior stakeholders, than normal people. And so I sort of fall somewhere in between.
Well, Ben in the chat room says, I did my A-levels in 99. They were teaching us BBC Micro, which was way out of date. At least it's probably more modern now. Don't get me wrong, great to learn how they work, but not useful for most IT jobs going forward. Tom says he's involved in a charity to promote science in grade schools. Main point is to spark interest to create 10-year-old cyber experts. Yeah, I think 10 years old is identified as being the key age, isn't it? That's when you're going to get people, you know, that's when, you know, when you talk to the Neil deGrasse Tysons and say, what age were you when you got into astrophysics and that kind of stuff? He's like, well, I went to the Hayden Planetarium when I was 10. I did this when I was 10. And you get a lot of people, 10's the age to switch people on to some passion, isn't it?
Well, that's probably what this STEM thing is with the girls, isn't it? Get them involved now. Yeah. I put that back in time for school, that BBC program, and that actually showed you schooling from Victorian times up to present day. And between the wars, the girls were involved in science and maths and stuff like that. And then just after just before, I think in the 30s or something, they stopped teaching them that. They just gave them home economics while the boys went off to do science and maths.
God.
And that and the girls were absolutely livid. They were going, and quite rightly too. But I can certainly remember when I went to school, that was certainly the attitude, home economics for the girls. And then we went on to do woodwork or metalwork or something. They were stuck cooking.
And well, the first ever software program was written by a lady. I'm trying to think of her name. Can't remember it. But she wrote the first ever
Linda program. Lovelace.
Was that the woman at NASA?
No, it was Linda Lovelace, surely.
Bletchley Park.
Oh, right. Okay.
Surely Linda Lovelace was the first one to write anything. She worked on that machine.
Thought she was Babbage's. In that porn film.
I got to say, I was thinking the same thing, dude.
Well, you got the wrong Lovelace. Well, I think maybe somebody else will remember it, but I thought it was the one who worked on Babbage's machine. She was the female mathematician. Have I got the wrong lady?
It's the wrong first name.
All right.
I think.
Lovelace is the right surname, isn't it? But I think bringing
things... It's Byron's daughter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Bringing things forward...
It's all been looking up. Lie.
The Raspberry Pi has been such an inspiration to the whole world, really, to help
Ada,
kids code.
Of course. How do you not know Ada Lovelace?
And I did know
that name, actually, yeah.
It was a programming language, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Greedy. Go on.
I was going to say, I try and teach my kids coding using. Okay, I know we're not allowed to talk about Apple, but Swift is a real great.
Yeah, Swift Playgrounds looks like a good development platform.
We were talking about that in the pub, weren't we, yesterday. Like Swift Playgrounds. I told you I made that dinosaur go around in circles. Took me an hour. Yeah.
It was worth it.
What's all the noise?
It's going to be greeny again. It's always greeny.
No, it's not me at all.
Everybody else is moving.
Well, where am I?
Grace Hopper says Deep Pan. I don't know what that is. Batwinch says, I was told when I was taking GCSE choices that girls didn't do technical drawing, so I was forced to do child development instead. In the 1980s.
Yes.
Sorry, what's the noise?
Know your place, Rob.
I think he's cutting his toenails again.
Rear Admiral Grace M. Hopper in 1984. One of the first programs of the Harvard Mark I computer. Pioneer computing program, inventing one of the first compiler-related tools. She popularized the idea of machine-independent programming language, which led to the development of COBOL and an early high-level programming language that's still in use today. That's cool. I've never heard of her before. Grace Murray Hopper.
The thing is, we invented the computer in this country, didn't we? But we kept it secret after the Second World War, and the Americans carried on and invented it ahead of us. But we'd already invented it, but we kept it to ourselves. So you learn that if you go to Bletchley Park.
So was Christopher the first kind of real modern computer? The one that Turing made for the Enigma codes?
Yes. Well, they say that... oh, what's his name? Begins with a B.
Babbage.
That was the first.
Oh, that was a machine, though, wasn't Babbage. It?
That was a thinking engine, wasn't it? It wasn't a true computer.
And it wasn't electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, because I do like The Imitation Game. Most definitely.
Really?
It's a good film. I enjoyed it.
Oh, terrible.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Why don't you like it?
Turing's like climbing through a girl's window. Oh, that's the bit when I switched it off. I thought, this is bollocks.
What, you don't think that he masqueraded as not being gay? Because I'm sure he probably did.
Absolutely hopeless film.
Oh, okay.
You've seen The Darkest Hour?
Yeah, quite enjoyed that.
That was cock as well.
I said that, and everyone had a go at me on the
No. I thought
the comic strip presents when they did the miner strike?
Yes.
Do you remember that? And there's this bit at the end where Al Pacino as Arthur Scargill's like rides a Harley Davidson down the Mall and ends up in the Palace of Westminster, and he bursts into the House of Commons. And Rick Mayall is the speaker with a big wig. And he goes, you know, yes, Mr. Scargill, you can have your say. And it's just all cheesy. That's exactly what the Darkest Hour was like. Just,
I didn't like it.
I didn't get that, I got to say. I like the way it was filmed. The Darkest Hour was filmed when they were showing, like, they'd have a scene and then they'd come back from that. And it was just like Hitler sat on his own in his little bunker after having the phone call with Roosevelt, and it's complete darkness around it. And when he's traveling in the elevator, there's complete darkness, showing this idea of isolation, how isolated he was and how isolated politically and how isolated the country was. I thought that was really well shot that way. It looked really good.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Apple.
Yes.
We weren't really, but...
That's fine.
So there was legend that, you know, like the Apple has got
a bite
taken out of it.
Yeah.
And that's how Alan Turing killed himself.
That's right, cyanide.
An apple. Huh?
By injecting an apple? No, he didn't inject an apple, mate.
No, I haven't finished.
Ingest, I think you were looking for.
No, injected an apple with cyanide.
Yeah.
And he took a bite out of the apple, and that killed it. Or killed him, I should say.
Yeah.
And
surrounded by seven dwarves, yeah.
Give over, Dabs.
They say that...
It's a call.
Was the apple... Did the apple have a virus?
So they say that that's where the logo for Apple came from.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before. I don't think it's true.
Taking a bite at the apple.
Yeah. I don't know whether that's true or not. But no one will ever know, will we?
I think somebody asked Steve Jobs and he denied it. Pretty sure he denied it.
Jeffrey's joined us. How you doing, mate? Hello, Jeffrey.
Okay, how about now?
We got you.
And I can hear you.
That was his fault, then.
Stupid. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. That's ridiculous. Evening, Jeff.
Sorry about the technical issues getting in. I think it was all Skype.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's Skype shit.
Yep.
We were just debating then whether the apple on the Apple logo is a reflection of Turing biting an apple and killing himself with cyanide, or whether it's the Tree of Knowledge, or whether it's got absolutely nothing to do with either. You know?
I think it has absolutely nothing to do with either. And it's because the logo looked too similar to Apple, as in Apple Records. The Beatles apples. So the marketing company that came up with the Apple logo took the bite out of it, so it would look distinctly different.
Right. That makes sense, actually, though. That sounds like a logical story. Yeah. I'll go with that. That's now the official story on why there is a bite out of the Apple logo.
There we go.
Cut him off again.
And it was well worth the wait.
Cut Jeff off again.
We all prefer the serendipity of the Turing story. However, it's bollocks.
But if you want it to be the Turing story, totally run with it.
Totally. Okay. Muller, you've put a story in the chat room. Talk us through your story. Ultraviolet shutting down.
Yeah. As we all know, if you bought DVDs from certain companies, you had a download. I remember buying a few, which actually just linked to iTunes. But there was this, ultraviolet rubbish. I don't know about you, but I never bothered with it. But it's shutting down. It's not going to affect the Americans much, because apparently you can sign in and transfer your purchases. But us Brits and people in Europe are likely to lose all our digital downloads if you ever bothered using it. And it shuts down on July the 31st. So
wasn't there a big issue about the movie theatres shutting, or the movie company shutting down Ultraviolet because of what it was doing?
Oh, you'd have to ask someone else. Apparently, I don't think there were. Apparently, it's very popular in the US. Not so popular here, probably because it was damned hard to be bothered with it.
I don't think it was that popular here.
It was probably more popular than it was here.
I don't recall it ever launching here, to be honest.
Oh, I definitely saw it. If you bought a DVD, there was usually inside there was a code to Ultraviolet movies, but I used to buy the one without the Ultraviolet because it was slightly cheaper, and it was no. But if you got the DVD, why did you need the digital download? Just rip it. I mean, you could just
back it up.
Most of the people I know that bought DVDs that came with an ultraviolet code couldn't ever get it to work, so they'd contact Sony and say it didn't work, and then Sony would give them a code to download it from the iTunes store.
I had a DVD. It Jeez. Was it was the Star Wars trilogy from Family Guy, and that linked to iTunes, and you could download it. I've still got it in iTunes. I don't know where the DVD is. It's probably hiding on a cupboard, somewhere collecting dust, because I can just watch it on iTunes, which is probably the place I should have bought it anyway. But I think Ultraviolet is the reason I never buy DVDs. Because
no, according to Batwinch, the reason is because you're a cheap ass.
Yeah, there's that as well.
Yeah. So your story is that this is going and no one's going to miss it.
Well, probably not. But according to this, people in America has got millions of online movies on it, 30 million users, 300 million films and shows in their lockers. So
active users.
It says that on the story. Look at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
All in the US alone. So they've got time to log in and transfer their purchases. Unfortunately, apparently there's no way for non-US customers to do it. So we're being shafted.
But you never paid for Ultraviolet on top of anything, did you?
Yeah, you did.
You got it free with your DVD, or?
No, there was a couple of extra pounds on the cost, weren't there?
Right.
So I always bought the one without the blue without it, because it was a little bit cheaper. Plus, you could always... I think the problem with it is, well, you could give the code to your mates so they could download it and watch it. There wasn't any proof that it was you that bought the DVD, was there?
No. Mind you, I just recently got Once Upon a Deadpool, says Batwinch, and you now have a new service called Movies Anywhere, where you put in a code and it does the same thing. So are they shutting down on one thing and starting up as another, or is it the movie theatres or the movie companies have started something as a rival?
Movies Anywhere has been around for a few years. It had a different name, and I think Disney is one of the founding companies. And Movies Anywhere is designed to be like a central access point for the content you're buying from multiple services. So you link all of your different accounts. So it can be iTunes and Google Play and Amazon Prime and Disney and some other stuff. And then you can just go in and look in Movies Anywhere and see all the content from all the places.
Well, that's the service that you Americans have got to use to transfer the ultraviolet. But we can't do it, apparently. So it's Movies Anywhere. You look at the story, which is described as the service for the Americans to sign into and get an account. But will they bother?
Ultraviolet's days were numbered once Disney, the only major Hollywood studio not to join, launched its expanded Movies Anywhere locker in 2017. And that's it.
Well, that was an interesting story. Everyone joined in?
Yeah, no.
No, great. But I mean, it's the same with any of these online streaming things. As soon as they go bust, you suddenly go, hang on, I've just paid a lifetime for this. Well, didn't the BBC have something? What was it called? And they shut it down.
Really?
Oh, they tried some sort of video streaming thing. Sure, it was the BBC. It's not recently.
I'll
have a look online.
Free Wave or something. I can't remember if it's some sort of weird...
Free Wave? Was that like a transmission channel?
No, it was sort of a codec that they used. It was terrible.
Right.
Anyway.
Apparently BBC ITV and Channel 4 are all in talks to create a UK streaming service for them, according to The Guardian.
But if it's... Okay, I get it. If it's one of those subscription things, you pay every month and you just get unlimited access to stuff. But people who have actually paid for specific products and downloaded them, and they only exist... you know, somewhere in the cloud, and they think they'll have them for the lifetime, and then just the company goes bust, and here I am watching my Blu-rays.
Get Player, get something or other.
Well, you certainly wouldn't start buying films from Google, would you? Because they close everything down eventually. So,
are you getting confused there with Get iPlayer Automator, Greeny?
No, it's. I'm sure that it's got the word "get" in it. It was terrible.
It was Get iPlayer Automator, which was a download thing for getting stuff off iPlayer, but that doesn't work anymore, I don't think.
Still download it on your phone, though, can't you?
BBC and ITV run the BritBox streaming service over in the US, says Swamp Rat. Been subscribing since it started at $6.99 a month. That's probably a good price, actually, for what you get.
So hang on, I was reading this thing. The BBC's download service was called BBC Store.
Oh, that's back when Bob Beach, put BBC Store, but I didn't.
Yeah, closed in November, year before last.
Oh, right. So, sorry, Bob.
And they quoted, said, the official person said, although you'll still be able to watch your purchases, you won't be able to once we close down. Thank you.
No refunds.
You can watch everything until you can't. Thanks for your money.
Yeah, well, just to make it clear, watch it again now.
And there's a picture of a middle finger on their announcement.
Yeah, let me just copy that thing I've just seen. That one.
Copy and paste. So what date was that when that closed?
That was in... Well, the reporter is... So that would have been May 2017 where they announced it, and they shut down before the end of the year.
1st of November.
Of course, I don't know anyone actually used it. Probably about four people, but those four people must have been well pissed off.
Bob Beach was.
Well done, Bob Beach. I'm sorry, mate, that I didn't gather that that's what it was when you were responding to. I do apologise, pal. Well done. I'd like to say good story, Muller, but
you weren't very happy with my other story because it was knocking on a. Always do it later if it turns.
I'll be watching the season 22 premiere of Silent Witness. Is that how many of they haven't done that? You taking the piss?
I have, yeah.
Really, 22 seasons.
What was this one? Completely different thing again. Future Publishing, it cancelled its Games trademark magazine. And that was associated with lots of downloads and so on.
Okay.
It's the same thing. If you're a digital subscriber and it's just you get everything every month for what you pay, it doesn't matter. But when you start buying stuff, all right, we'll stop doing it now.
Well, you're going to W.H. Smith's, and the amount of magazines that just seem to have disappeared lately. I mean, it's okay. I wanted to buy a gaming magazine just for that, and I wish I hadn't bothered, actually. £8 wasted, but they're just not there anymore.
Why do you need a gaming magazine, though? That's the thing, isn't it? It's just the content is, if I want to know anything about anything that's coming up, I'll just YouTube and see all the pre-release stuff that they've got that the journos do. And you can't go wrong, then.
Yeah, I just fancied it, but I've been struggling to read it. They're not a good read anymore, are they? Should go back to something like one of the PC magazines that I used to read. But haven't got around to
it. I'd like to put a shout out for Condé Nast, for no particular reason.
Publishing, yeah. Because...
Yeah. All I'm going to say is they're a terrific company, and wouldn't it be wonderful to work for them?
So that's where you... That's where your job application's gone, then, is it?
No, all I'm saying is...
But Condé Nast are Wired, aren't they?
Huh?
Condé Nast and Wired.
They do a lot of stuff. Wired's part of what they do.
Yeah.
I know some people that have worked for Condé Nast properties that are glad they don't anymore.
Yeah, but Greeny, don't do that, Jeff, because Greeny's applied for a job there.
Oh, but the... But
they were all assholes.
It's actually going to be awesome. It's only the stuff in the United States that you need to
recover. Oh, yeah. That's the terrible part.
Did I recover okay?
So, I mean, they do in the UK, I think they do Cosmopolitan. They definitely do GQ. And they do a few other Homes and Garden, I think.
What's that clicking?
That's me flicking my pen.
Please don't do it, mate. It's making me deaf.
Really? Oh, maybe it's not me then.
No, it's clicking in my ear. It's loud. I'm not lying.
Yes, I think they're brilliant. And I would absolutely recommend any of you subscribing to a Condé Nast publication.
Well, even though Alistair Campbell might be a columnist.
I'm moving on. He's applied for a job. Give him a break.
I'm afraid you're going to have to start a war in the Middle East before they'll hire you as a columnist.
Oh, okay.
Well, moving on. What's 56F? That's not your boob size, surely, Jeff?
No, it's my current temperature.
Oh, right. Got you.
Batwench was interested.
She wants to know it in Celsius, which is not old money. Fahrenheit's old money, for Christ's sake, woman. Right, next story. Who's got a story to put in there? Have we done everyone?
Oh, come on.
Jeff hasn't got a story.
Oh, I can give you a story.
Have you got a story, Greeny Boy? No?
Yeah, I have.
All right.
Well, I show up late, I have trouble getting in, and I still beat Greeny to a story.
Well, Greeny's not in the chat room, so he can't cut and paste, you see. That's the trouble.
Well, I can't get the bloody chat room to work because it wants Flash, and...
No, it doesn't.
I'm trying to make it work, because...
Download Colloquy, use that.
And it's free.
Download Colloquy. Colloquy.
Okay.
It's a good...
Well, it's still my turn for a story, because Jeff is late. And so I reckon I get first
dibs. Greeny, just do a story, for Christ's sake. Go on.
Okay. Google Plus.
He's gone.
Not quite yet, but it's going to be...
Terminal.
Gone. Only for personal users. It's still going to be open for business, but for personal users, everything will be deleted within, I think it's this month.
Yeah, all your photos and vids gone.
It's a shame.
Well, it's Google, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's the standard practice of Google is to create something, get bored with it, and can it. How many times?
Everything's perpetually beta.
Isn't this just a continuation of the previous story?
Why?
Well, I do try and link the stories.
No, I mean, in the case of, you've got a great, your service that everyone signs up to, they buy into, and then, oh, no, we can cancel it. Off it goes.
Yeah,
also, I was wondering this idea that they're going to switch it off and get rid of all the data. It is Google. I don't think they're going to get rid of the data.
Well, they're going to get rid of your access to the data.
Yeah, they'll keep their access to your data.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. No question of that.
Wasn't a complete waste of time for them.
So the business part is going to stay around because I work with Waitrose and John Lewis, and they both use the business part of it, Waitrose especially. But from a so that's going to stay. But from a personal point of view, if you've got Google Plus, you might want to sort of download or take your stuff off Google Plus sort of now, really.
Does anyone here actually use it?
I did. One of the forums I used to use has moved over to MeWe. It's a similar service. You'll have to look it up. It's okay. It's a little bit.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a little bit raw at the moment, but it's all right. I'll put a link in for it. But I mean, at the moment, I don't know how they make money. How they're supposed to be making money? Because there's no advertisements on there, and they don't charge to use it. So God knows how they're making any money there, but maybe once it gets popular, they'll start asking for some cash or splashing adverts on it.
Google Wave, that's the way to go.
And that's gone as well.
That's gone.
Well, Google Plus replace that.
You can't even get the Google URL shortener. See,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're canning that as well.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think there are alternatives, but it's just, do you know anyone who knows anyone that actually uses Google Plus?
No, but Dave Wilson says, you've received this email because, if this is from the Google email thing, you have a consumer Google Plus account and you manage Google Plus page. In December 2018, announced our decision to shut down Google Plus in April 2019 due to low uses and challenges involving maintaining a successful product. That means consumers' expectations. Thanks for being part of it and provide the next steps, including how to download your photos and so on.
I used to have a domain called Google, not chat. Oh, what was it called? Google something like that. Anyway, Google Chat or Google something or other.
Google something.
And they got in touch with me and they said, well, look, Will. You're not really allowed to have this domain. So it was £600. So I said, okay, brilliant. And so I took it. Google Talk, was it? I can't quite remember. But I'm good friends with them. And I work a lot with Google. So I'm not going to say a word against them.
I think they're bringing out something called Google Chat. Unless this is a really old story. I've got the date.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just looking to see what the date is. Can't see a date on
the story. Is Google Chat one of those things that you can type to someone or you can talk to someone and it'll translate instantly or something like that?
I think it's a bit like Messenger and Apple's version.
Right.
It's April last year, so you'd have thought it'd be out by now.
Deepan's just scored googleblowme.com as a website.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll buy it that often.
Yeah, no, you're not going to make a fast buck on that one. Not a chance.
No, seriously, I thought Google Plus had already closed, to be honest. I was quite surprised when I read this in the news.
It was all right. I mean, recently, Phone So Chat, which is one of Steve Litchfield's podcasts, they used it, and it was very popular. But as you said, it was hit and miss. I didn't particularly like it, but they've all moved over to MeWe, which has a... I'm finding it hard to get into the chats. It's harder than Google Plus, but I think it's quite a young service at the moment. It may improve.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sure, wow. It's with Google though, they were really decent, and they said, well, we'll give you sort of £400 for it. And I said, okay, we'll make it 600, so you can, you're basically buying my wife and my children and myself a nice meal.
Alistair,
so
please,
let's,
man,
go with that, shall we? And they said, okay. And I thought it was sort of really lovely, really.
How about that, though? We're going to take you to the cleaners in the courts.
Yeah, they'll have added that to your data.
Yeah.
You'll be first against the wall.
It's all over.
Yeah. Do you know, Adobe also has a history of running something that maybe not everyone uses, but some people quite like, and then canning it. And it is very frustrating because you hold back. You're going to go, well, that looks really good. Well, let's not invest any training in it because it'll be gone in 18 months. They had a web page creator called Muse. I don't know if you heard of that. And the idea was it was supposed to be for people creating web pages, you know, as if it was like a graphics package. So you just chuck things on the page and move things around and export it. Yeah. But it also did responsive HTML. And that was the thing. So you could set up width, so you didn't have to work too hard on that. And that was quite popular. So they canned it.
Hmm.
They also did the same with, they came up with a way of creating form filling, so interactive form filling. And it was used a whole, so kind of a cloud-based web interface, so lots of drag and drop and building up forms, gathering the data, producing reports and so on. And that was marvelously popular with like people working with PDF and so on. So they canned that one. I think the problem is that they had trouble monetizing it because they were trying to sell it as part of a subscription or part of Creative Suite or Creative Cloud. But maybe they just didn't feel they could sell it. Maybe that's the same with Google Plus.
Google Plus is all about creaming your data off you, so they must have got to the point where they got a saturation of what they could get from the data.
Well, it was just poor quality data. I don't know. That's exactly why I was wondering who was using it.
Yeah.
The thing with Adobe Muse and some of those other products, I thought those were sort of like Skunk Works projects that Adobe was just tossing out there to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And they end up taking features and rolling them into other products and then abandoning the thing, unless it like really takes off, which to me seems like a pretty crappy way to do feature testing, because you do get people that get really wrapped up in stuff like that, like Muse. I know there are people that really enjoyed it.
Mm.
Well, I used it strangely quite a lot, because if you're producing any kind of, you know, if you're creating apps and so on, and from time to time you want to chuck in media from different places, and you didn't want to break apart, you know, the main structure of your app, you go, I'll just stick a bit of HTML in here that will fit any screen, any phone, any tablet. You think, oh, am I going to sit down and write this? I'll just fire up Muse. I can get it done in about 15 minutes. And then when they canned it, they said, oh, no, you should, you can all use Spark. Now, if you've seen Spark, I mean, it's for four-year-olds. I mean, no joke. It's the kind of thing they get four-year-olds at school, how to make a story. And that's what we're all supposed to use instead. Otherwise, you go for Dreamweaver or you go for text editor. It is a funny way of approaching it.
Not good. Jeffrey, trust in tech is at its lowest point. What needs to be done? That's your story.
Oh, right. That one's mine. So we have stuff like we discussed on the Mac show earlier, where Facebook and Google are collecting user data in huge ways through their apps, and you know, it's just part of a bigger problem. And so now we're seeing articles like this: "Hey, tech is or trust in tech is lower than it's ever been." And I have two takes on this. The first one is, yeah, companies need to be doing more to ensure our privacy, and they need to be transparent about how they're protecting our information. But the other take I have is, do people really care, and do companies really care that trust is so low? Because it seems like this is the sort of story we're seeing on a regular basis right now. You know, trust in tech, it's lower than it's ever been. And yet people continue to use the services and products that are abusing their information and abusing that trust. And it just doesn't end. So do companies even need to change?
I think we're in a there is a tech bubble at the moment, isn't there, in terms of cost expansion versus benefit and the lack of user upgrade and that kind of thing that we talked about. And people are bothered about the fact that they don't want their data out there, but they also know that if they walk away from Facebook, they have got a fat chance of getting up to date on events with their friends and knowing when they're supposed to be down the pub tonight or tomorrow night. And, it's like the black, do you remember when we all had BlackBerries and you get the little email light would pop on and you had to look, it was that, you know, that stimulus that made you do it. And that's the trouble, is everyone is sitting checking social media constantly as a comfort blanket. It's an addiction.
I don't think the muggles care.
You don't?
No. I've just been setting up a computer for my wife, and to be honest with you, I was banging my head against it, but in the end I've just said, give it to me once a week and I'll just have a quick look over, see if anything needs doing. If not, I'll just hand it you back. And she'll go onto any of these sites, and I get, you know, friends saying they've been hacked and they haven't, they're just passing one of these stupid emails around. And you go onto some website and say, look, this is just a fake story. And then 10 minutes later, they're passing another one round. So honestly, I just think most people just don't understand and don't care.
I think a lot of people have the I don't have anything to hide mentality, so why should I be worried about it?
They don't know what they should hide either.
True.
Well,
and these are people that if someone walked into their house and started going through their wardrobe and looking at their underpants, they'd be freaking out. And it's not like that's something they have that should be a secret, but it's personal and it's private.
I got a call but from my mother.
They don't see data the same way.
I got a call from my mother last week, and she said, something's got on the computer. There's lines all over the desktop. She said, the screensaver. I'm like, on the desktop? She said, yeah, there's lines all over the desktop. Okay, fine, leave it, and I'll go up and have a look at it. Don't touch anything. Excuse me. So I got up there. She'd changed the background wallpaper. That was it.
Oh.
She has no clue how she did it. I don't have a clue how she's done it. So she's opened system preferences somehow and gone in and changed it to a different picture. And that's where the lines come. So, but in her head, she was being hacked.
She was being hacked.
Yeah.
You can just right-click on the desktop, can't you? It's the third app. So I'd say she probably did it, just right-clicked on the desktop.
Right. Be a passing Girl Scout.
Change desktop background. There we go, yeah.
Yeah. So she's done that.
Or some Japanese Boy Scout testing how hackable she is in advance of the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of do the stories about so Huawei's getting a lot of issue at the moment, isn't it, with embargoes from the US and claims about spying and that kind of stuff. But how much of that actually makes it to the mainstream press, and how many people, if I went down into the high street tomorrow, would say, oh yeah, I know about the Huawei thing, or even be able to pronounce Huawei?
It would be almost no one.
I think they're really getting a bad press as well. I feel sorry for them. I'm not entirely sure what they've done wrong. And I don't think anybody can prove that they've done anything wrong. Old Trump is sort of kicking off over it. And I think over in the UK, we're having to follow America for various different reasons. But what have they done wrong? I mean, they're great phones. Seems like a nice company. I like China.
Didn't they find a chip? So there is proof. Americans aren't just.
But the chip was.
No, the Chinese chip thing is bollocks. That never happened, from what I understand. That's not a story.
Right.
Yeah, it was never proved.
No, it's never happened. There is no chip on the boards that's minuscule that's stealing all the data. Batwinch says, my mam loves it when she gets her computer being infected with calls. Oh, she gets calls from people who are saying that she's got an infected computer. They won't believe that she doesn't have one. The most advanced thing she has is her washing machine.
and that's called Batwinch.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The part of the thing that has the U.S. government all in a tizzy right now is a report that Huawei was selling products to Iran.
Oh, yes, that was it. That's why they've done it, isn't it?
Yeah. See, that bit I can get. It was the rest, as you say. There was a report today in the papers saying the British government's going to sort out an investigation into the Huawei equipment. I mean, everyone's doing it now because they're all terrified because they're starting to build the 5G infrastructure. And, of course, they're the number one provider on everyone's list because they're so cheap. But this government thing says, yes, we're going to have this investigation and we won't know for a couple of months until we get the final report. And the final report will probably be top secret. And you go, well, what was the point of telling us? It smacks of some sort of, well, it does sound like a cover job for either nothing at all or a bit of,
you know,
they're selling too many products. They're too successful. You know, someone's passed someone else a brown envelope. We've got to slow them down and buy elsewhere instead. I just, as you say, no one really knows what it's about. Thing is, I think there is some awareness of it. I made a couple of jokes a bit today with a non-technical group of people, and they knew what I was talking about.
Oh, right, okay.
They even know how to pronounce Huawei. It's. I've written about this before. My wife refers to it as Wahei, which I think sounds better.
Hey.
Yes.
I like that.
Can I get my hands on your Wahei? Hey. It's very carry on.
It's very Cheggers.
Maybe does America want Cisco to provide everything? That's their American company, aren't they?
Well, you wonder, but.
Cisco Systems. I don't seem to hear much of them anymore.
They're around. They're doing a lot of stuff, but. I mean, Cisco isn't a sexy company in the way that like a smartphone maker or a tablet maker.
Cisco's Meraki, isn't it? Because Meraki's very much a big brand for them. It's all about the enterprise routing systems.
They own Linksys now, is that right?
Yeah, I think they do. They've owned it for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, I wrote about the Huawei thing on my column in the Register last week, you know, because, you know, my phone's a Huawei, and I was just saying it's brilliant. If I had any other phone, it would just be a smartphone, but I've got a spy gadget. I'm James Bond. It's fantastic.
You got a license to thrill.
Yes, with my Huawei.
Yeah, there's someone at Huawei headquarters going, oh my god, Dabs is in trouble with his missus again.
Huawei.
You're their version of EastEnders, mate. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. That's all it is.
Who's this Danny Dyer that keeps on being on? But he's from EastEnders or something, isn't he? I don't watch it, so I don't
know.
He's
a complete cop.
He's on TV everywhere for everything.
Yeah,
he's
been around for a while, but he's in
it. And he's like, oh, I'm really working class and all this. And suddenly he's discovered that he's a long lost relative of God or something like that, is it? And now he's on TV for saying how fantastic it is that he's related to, Jesus or someone. I don't know.
Bob Peaches, I said he's a cock. And Bob Beach says he's a twat. So there you go.
Oh, that's who he is. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. The thing is, with the number of people that were in Britain at the time, the chances are, if you go far enough back, we're all related to a king. I saw that on a BBC royalty, website. Royalty, right. Yeah. He's Edward the... one of the Edwards, I can't remember which one.
Not the one who had a red hot poker thrust. Yeah.
No, the one before that one. He is related to him as well, because wasn't he supposed to be gay? And he was shagging some of his male counterparts, but he wasn't doing his wife properly.
So Hal Zabowski on Mystery Hour, which is a podcast that Muller and I both listen to, I know, he did a thing where he calculated that every person on the planet has at least one molecule of water that was the dying breath of Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
Statistically. Every person statistically has one molecule of water that was the dying breath of Caesar on the whole planet.
So. I saw another one that all Europeans are related to one of the popes, the... Charlemagne.
Right.
Because yet again, it's all down to the fact that there's so few people about.
Yeah, there's a guy that I did read an article about a guy who's a genealogist, and he goes on holiday and collects DNA samples and then maps them for fun. And he did a tour of Indochina, and he said there was 35% of the population he sampled had Genghis Khan's DNA.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, God, that bloke shagged for China.
Fair play to him.
Or Mongolia. He was a busy man.
Didn't he have about 200 wives or something, though? So
yeah, that's not to mention all the people he was knocking off the raping and pillaging. So
yeah, but he did tend to kill them.
Well, no, obviously not.
Well, not the women, anyway.
He let them go full term. So
my only sort of claim to fame is I'm related to Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, are you?
That's only a couple of generations. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
We both enjoyed the same disease for myself. We both got it. So that's all good.
You heard about Ernest Hemingway, the author, or somebody else?
No, the ice cream man.
No, the bloke who sells papers down our road.
The guy that used to own the DVD shop in the high street.
That's him, yes. Oh, you know him as well. Brilliant.
Hemingway's Flicks.
BBC Store.
The BBC Store, yeah. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. They are absolutely brilliant. We are indebted to them after last year's debacle where they stepped in and saved our bacon. So you guys have got to look after them, please. And all they want from you, and this is the best bit, all you got to do is give them brand recognition. So just take to social media and say, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And we've had some wonderful tweets out in the last couple of weeks. You guys have really got onto this and it's brilliant. You've got to keep doing it. Unlike Alistair with his sodding pen. Which he needs to stop. Please, get on there in the social and tweet out that TSO Hosts are the best thing since sliced bread, and thanks for supporting at British Tech. And likewise, do the same thing for Telestream, at Telestream, because they produce the software called Wirecast that we use for doing all the switching and that kind of stuff, which I've now got to grips with in terms of use. So please go out and support them as well, as because they're very important to us. And if you've been looking for Uniku glasses and you've been writing to podcast@hoya.co.uk, they've had a problem with the email, so they've not been noticing that you've been emailing. It's not gone through to the inbox. It's all sorted now. Mark's got on it. He's sussed it out. He's recovered the emails that he thinks he's lost. So he's got in contact with a few people. If you haven't been contacted by Hoya when you've written to podcast@hoya.co.uk, then give him a call. Give him another email, because it all works now, and Mark will get you set up. And Muller, you're set up with a Uniku experience, are you not?
I have.
The BTN Mark, red card treatment.
Mark emailed me this morning, said there's a place up in Five Ways, Edgbaston. So I got on Google, Matt, found the phone number, phoned him. Tuesday, 3 o'clock, my appointment to have my set of Unico sorted out.
Awesome, mate. Superb.
Yeah, that'll be lovely. Looking forward to it.
Brand new set of Unicos. He said he doesn't want anything that's like mine, though.
Yeah, I'm not having nose glasses. I'll be like, I'll have to buy a magic wand or something, yeah. No way.
Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jeffrey.
Mine's an easy little thing. I like my AirPods. And I live in a place where they can get wet, like if I drop them in the snow, well, when it snows. So I have this little AirPods case from Catalyst. And it has a little D-ring thing, so you can attach it to your belt, your keys, whatever. It has a little cover on the charger port to keep moisture out. And it folds up like this, and it makes a watertight seal around the lid. So my AirPods, when they're in the case, they will not get wet. And it even has a little push point for the reset button that's on the back of the case.
Cool.
And these come in several colors, and they're, I want to say $25 US.
Yep, $24.99. There's loads of different color combinations, purples, grays, blues, blacks. Yep, loads.
Yeah, it's just a simple little thing, but man, I'm so glad I've had this, and I've dropped my AirPods case a few times, and I'm sure that this has saved me from cracking or breaking the case.
I put a link into someone's I bought off Amazon. They're a lot cheaper, but I've been having problems in my case not charging or one of the AirPods and it being flat. And since I've stopped using the case, I've not had any problems. So I don't know if it was the case. Obviously, it wasn't the make you've got there. But I was having sorts of problems, and I've stopped using it, and the problems have stopped.
Well, I've had this one for months, and yeah. It's been great. I've liked it so much that I've given a couple to friends and family. And I wouldn't do that if I didn't really trust the product, because I don't want them coming back and complaining.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I might have a go at that. Looks like it works different from the other pair.
I really like mine.
Excellent. Grinny Boy, what do you have for us as a cool thing?
For me, it's an iOS app. It's free. It's made by Apple. And they seem to have gone slightly quiet about it, and it's called Shortcuts. So if you've got a bit of coding in you or something like that, but you sort of don't want to get down to the deep and dark coding parts of it, it's a very much a drag and drop. So there's like component parts, and you can make your own sort of work streams. What was that thing they used to do for the Mac or Automator?
Yeah, Automator still do it.
Automator is still a thing.
Yeah, I love Automator. It's the only thing I'm kind of good at.
this is very similar to Automator, but it for iOS. And there's a section called Gallery, so you can look at what other people have done. And it's really good. So you basically can create your own apps and your own sort of work flow within iOS. And yeah, it's terrific for nothing. What do you want for that, then?
Excellent, mate. I've got a picture.
Will it make zip files without any hidden
zip
files inside?
I've got Shortcuts for Mac here. And it's $1.99, so.
What's it called?
Yeah, that's not thing. The Shortcuts app you're looking for.
Right.
No, I was going to say that.
The Shortcuts used to be called Workflow.
Got you.
Before Apple bought the company. And Yeah. Isn't it just installed by default now?
No, it's not. You have to download it.
I think you have to enable don't you?
Oh, you're right. You do have to download it separately. Yeah. There you go.
Jeff, you said this is not the shortcut you're looking for. Is that right?
Move along. Yes.
Is that what you said?
And we all went, it's okay, not the shortcut we're looking for.
Star Wars.
See, I'm good.
I've got to do it.
I've just done
These
that.
These are not the shortcuts you're looking for.
It's Obi-Wan Bejesus.
Uncanny. That's the one.
But these are not
I went out on a date the other day. I went on a date and we went to the Ivy, and so it was all good. And then I launched into my Obi-Wan Kenobi sort of impressions, and I've never heard from her since. So maybe I should.
Yes. Maybe
it wasn't the date she was looking for. I don't
know. No, yeah, very good.
It was not the date you're looking for.
But she still hasn't found what she's looking for.
Oh man.
No.
Greeny, there's a website that you may like, since you're getting into shortcuts, and it's called sharecuts.app. And it's a repository of a bunch of shortcuts that people have submitted. So you can find something that maybe does what you already need, or something that's close to what you want to do, and then modify it into the thing you want. It's pretty cool. Sharecuts.app.
Oh, excellent.
Good one. Thanks.
That's cool.
My barber does a lot of shortcuts.
Oh, give over. Muller, Viking, you toad. Mr. Dabs, have you got a cool thing for us, mate?
Well, do you know, I had two that I wanted to try. I've done two because they're actually neither of these products actually exist yet. They're still prototypes. So I've just posted a link for a video of one of them. They've come up with this concept that one of the limitations of drones for delivery is they're too small and they're too slow. If you wanted a drone to go long distance, you need to basically have a small aeroplane. And then the challenge then is, do you need runways? So there's this South African company. I'm trying to remember, its name begins with P. It'll come back to me. Passerine or something. They've come up with these sparrow-legged, like jump things. So it's got over-the-wing jet engines. So it blows the air over the top of the wing. It's supposed to give you more lift. And instead of a long runway, it just kind of leaps into the air like a sparrow. You have to watch the video to get an idea. And of course, it's jumped into the air, and then these jets are supposed to fire really full on, and then it flies like an aeroplane, so aeroplane speeds instead of usual drone speeds. So they reckon they can probably carry more faster, but you know, for longer distances. I thought it'd be fun seeing those. Of course, they'd probably have to fly a lot higher. I'm not sure if that's going to lead anywhere, but makes a nice little video. The other thing that I came in with, that I found that looked interesting, and again, is as far as I can see, is still concept, was a handheld wind-up USB recharger. If I can just paste that. Did I paste it in? I did, yes. Okay. So it's a Japanese company that's produced this to order. I don't know if you can see on that website the Nendo one. But it kind of slots together as a series of tubes, and then you kind of swing it around like one of those old-fashioned rattles from a 1970s football match. And it's like a wind-up USB recharger.
Cool.
Which, I mean, if you've ever had to use a coffee grinder, a manual one, you know it takes about, you know, the best part of 7 hours to get one cup of coffee. I was just wondering how long it would take to wind up one of these USB rechargers.
Well, I remember that who invented the wind-up radio.
Radio, yeah.
And you didn't have to wind it for very long to get about 20 minutes out of it.
Yeah, but the thing is, radio's changed. If you know, say with DAB radio, it takes about 10 times as much electricity. So, you know, your batteries run out quickly. You'd be constantly winding it. And I was just wondering how much you'd have to keep doing this in order to recharge a phone.
I like that you can charge it through USB as well. So you don't have to rely on just spinning it.
But what I liked was that they'd also designed it. You got it there. If you see the website, they've designed it so slots behind a couple of other cylinders. So it looks or could work like a pen stand. I'm sure Ewan will be really pleased about that.
Doesn't say how long it takes, does it?
Well, no, it wouldn't. I mean, I think the company there, the website I put, are the kind of product designers. I don't think they're necessarily the electronics engineers or the manufacturers. But I tried to follow through the manufacturers. I can't find any information on it yet, so maybe it fizzled out. Because this sort of started around November time, and I've been trying to see if I get any more information on it, but I haven't yet. Mind you, I've not been looking very hard. I just like the idea of, you know, I need to have this quick recharge. Oh, I need another one recharge. You'd just be standing there for hours doing this.
Cool.
Well, I thought it was funny.
It is.
Well, it's a bit, like these, you know, do you remember there was a fad for rechargers that would be solar powered?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they never worked.
Did you ever try one? How long did they take?
Oh, it never worked.
Years.
No, but it just never worked.
Well, it didn't work because you'd have to be in the Mojave Desert and, you know.
I own two of them.
Well, I took it to Australia and it still didn't work because I bought it for that reason. I knew I was going to be out in the middle of nowhere and it still didn't work.
Oh, yeah, it's because the sun has a different voltage in Australia.
Well, you think it would work better there, but it didn't work.
Yeah, it's a different combination of rays.
That's my solar thing here, look. That's waterproof that I bought to try and run the Sentry cameras off that, and that didn't that didn't recharge a battery in 2.5 days. It's crap.
It's probably all the
pollution.
Probably all the pollution in London.
I'll freely admit that it wasn't going to charge it during the night. But
is it one of those knife-proof vests?
It looks like it. Probably that's more use than it is as a frigging charger. cool one. Right, Muller, tell us your cool thing. And I got to say, I totally agree.
Oh, yeah. I can't afford it, but it is cool. A 49-inch ultra-wide monitor. Extravagant, ridiculous, and amazing. And I tell you what, I want it, but at £1,500. And it I bet it's more in England.
It'll come down.
But yeah. I mean, it's equivalent to 27-inch monitors, but look at that. That is sexy. And I can guarantee you within about 2-3 months, Ewan's going to have one on that desk. I guarantee it.
Well, I paid £1,000 each for the two monitors, the curve monitors I've got in front of me. And so there's £2,000 worth of monitors in here. This is cheaper.
Oh,
it's the same place.
Yeah, so I'll buy one of your monitors off you for £300.
buy both for £700 and we might get somewhere.
Oh, I got no.
No, you can get hold of this for about £1,300, I reckon.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? It'd have to come down a bit more for me before I'd want it, but because I mean, I just haven't got the use case for it. But wow, look at that!
You know, I'm looking at this thing, and my 34-inch curb display suddenly looks small. So thanks a lot for that.
Well, the thing is, there's people like you and probably Dabsy and Greeny that may make a use of this. But I mean, I just play games on my computer. As I said to Greeny yesterday,
and it wouldn't work with that. You'd be letterboxed anyway.
Well, some of the newer games coming out probably would, but I mean that's a different story. But those aren't out yet. But the thing is I mainly use my computers for social stuff. Well, not my Macs and that. And I sort of said that I want a cheap Mac. I know we argued about that earlier, but this is just porn, isn't it?
Buy direct from Dell for
$1,300. Almost literally, because I see it's called The Verge. In French, The Verge, that's slang for your dick.
Awesome.
But you could look at that.
It's the dick.
Well, yeah. You'd have one though, wouldn't you, if you could afford it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is rather nice, I have to say.
I guarantee you, you and you'll have one soon, because I know you. You're always waiting to come down.
No, I'm going to say, if you said I was sat in front of two 24-inch monitors that are, you know, samey, run-of-the-mill stuff, then fair enough, yeah, I would definitely. But these ones, I absolutely adore these. And everyone that comes in here goes, wow, look at those monitors. So even still, it's not...
The problem, you got the gap, though, haven't you, that you never used to have?
No, I haven't, but I do need to, but that's just because I keep moving these around to try and, you know, get it, because I sit one way to do video editing, and I sit another way to do the show, so I'm always facing towards the right-hand side of the studio, but when I sit and do video editing, I've got the main interface on the left side, so I'm completely opposite. Actually, they get moved around an awful
lot. If you built a big enough table, you could buy a few of these and have a great big circle of monitors.
I don't think they curve enough. That would probably... That would probably be a ridiculously high high amount of
monitors.
Innovation. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking if that's what you want to do, excuse me, it'll probably be cheaper to have a custom-made display that wraps all the way around.
Yeah, I was only joking. I like that. I want it. Can't afford it, but want it.
Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
I am hanging out over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com, and Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram, and still doing the iOS show. It's amazing how many shows we've done for a podcast that we canceled. And, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And a bunch of other shows. I'm easy to find.
Excellent, pal. Good to see you. Greeny boy, where will you be?
Well, listen, are you going to strike me down?
What do you mean, am I going to strike you down? No.
Well, if you do strike me down, imagine you were going to say that.
I'm going to strike you down.
I should become infinitely more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Actually, it was wrong, wasn't it? I should become...
I thought there was a touch powerful. Of Jamaican in that at the start, I have to say.
I should become more powerful.
If you cut me down, man, I'll be coming back.
But it wasn't too far off.
I'm going to play that back.
Got to make
one more time. One more time.
These are the droids you're looking for.
These are not the droids you're looking for, man.
Easy now.
Hey now, Jar Jar never said that.
Right, okay, let me focus now. I need to be Obi, okay?
It's like that bit of Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd's Black Dallas.
It is, yes.
Well, I'm going to go now. Right, one last time.
Okay.
Are you ready? Right. You can't interrupt.
Right.
Write it down. I should become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. That was bloody good. You've got to be honest.
That's close, yeah.
That's virtually racist. Greeny.
No, he wasn't racist in the slightest. It was taking the piss out of Greeny.
You can find me at, for more Obi-Wan Kenobi impressions, I only do two, at richardmack.com.
You're going to start a children's party service, aren't you, doing Obi-Wan Kenobi impressions?
Yes, I don't think they'll get it though, will they?
You think?
So, children,
we'll go down as well as the date at the Ivy, I think.
Batwinch has just snorted wine through her nose.
So,
I'll never watch Star Wars again.
Well, you can all...
You've ruined it.
Brilliant. The man could have been in the room as I spoke, couldn't it?
Only with a Ouija board. Alistair, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Writing in the Register once a week on Fridays. My column, it's non-essential.
Oh, don't put yourself down, mate. It's a good read. And Muller, where would you be, mate?
Muller Biker Twitter, Muller999 on Instagram. I'm the producer here, and I'm going to get the producership of Obi-Wan's podcast soon, I reckon. That's it.
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
Definitely not.
It's not the podcast you're looking for.
You need to do that for a start for us for a show's. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next Friday. If it's not on Friday, it's not happening. And all the shows will be there, 4 p.m. for Mac Show and 8 p.m. for Big Show. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.